When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is the Dan Grosser Show on 98.7 ESPN.
Happy Saturday, everybody. 20th day of April 2024. We have made it. It is time. We are here. The postseason. Let's get it on. 800-919-3776. That is the telephone number. A full uninterrupted vehicle, 3 big hours. We take it right up until high noon here on this Saturday on 98.7 ESPN. My buddies Joe Leo, Tom Bauer, they are here producing the program today. At Dan Grosser's, where you can get me on the old Twitter if you want to chime in. And we have made it, right? No more prognosticating, no more speculating. You know, it was just a week ago, we were sitting here and we were talking about, well, who's the preferred opponent, right? Whether it was for the Knicks and the Rangers. You know, who's the team you want to play? Rangers, they were still trying to make sure they would lock up first place in the Metropolitan Division. First place in the Eastern Conference. So you wouldn't have to maybe lock horns with a Tampa Bay Lightning potentially in that first round, or dare I say the New York Islanders. Knicks, on the other hand, you know, they had one more game to play on Sunday against the Chicago Bulls. Should they go all out to try to win the game? Or would it be a little bit cozier for them if maybe they finished in third? And they would avoid either, let's say, the Philadelphias or the Miamis in the first round of the playoffs. You know, is it really worthwhile to go out there and try to win a game on Sunday that didn't mean anything for Chicago? And yeah, it would be nice to win 50 games. It would be nice to be the 2 seed, even though you needed some help to make sure that you got the 2 seed, but you didn't know if the teams outside of New York were going to cooperate or not. Well, they did, and the Knicks did their thing, even though they had to play 5 more minutes in overtime. And alas, here we are, right? The Rangers checked all the boxes. They won the division. They won the East. They won the President's Trophy. Knicks, they won 50 games for really only like the second time in the last 25 years. And they are the 2 seed in the Eastern Conference. And we sat there a couple of nights ago and we watched Philadelphia and Miami, which was kind of a weird deal. Right? Like, you're watching that game, and, you know, postseason, it's all about series, best of. It's not just one game. This isn't the NCAA tournament. That's why the play-in tournament stuff was kind of, like, odd to watch. And then you're watching it from a Knicks perspective, knowing that, hey, you play the winner of this game. You know, so you can have, like, rooting interests in it. You were invested in the game you were watching. And at least through the first 2 quarters, it looked like, hell, Philadelphia, they couldn't make a shot. We didn't know if they were even going to crack, like, 80 points. It was that bad form, and you're saying to yourself, geez, it's damn Miami again. They do this every time in the playoffs. Doesn't matter how much they just go through the motions in the regular season, how much they just sleepwalk through 82 games. They load manage this guy, load manage that guy. Jimmy Butler goes to tennis matches for 2 weeks and doesn't play basketball. Doesn't matter. Because once the playoffs start, the Heat are going to be a pain in the neck, until they weren't. But however, last night, if you went out, maybe you didn't watch basketball or whatever, the Heat still made sure that they were going to be a part of our lives for at least a couple of more weeks. Because even without Jimmy Butler, they did Heat things. And they ran the Bulls right out of that gym down there in South Beach. So the Bulls are no more. And the Heat are going to be going up to Boston. And look, we expect the Celtics to win. But again, never say never. Who the heck knows? And now this Heat team is going to be a part of the playoffs, even though I guess people down in South Beach had better things to do because there was about 12 people at that game last night. But, you know, that's neither here nor there. They treated the playoff game just like the Heat treat the regular season. But instead we get Knicks, we get Sixers. And I had said when those two teams were the possibility that I would much rather take my chances with Miami. Now, look, in hindsight, nobody knew that Jimmy Butler was going to get hurt. He did. And we don't know what his availability is going to be moving forward, but instead the Knicks have the Philadelphia 76ers. And they're a good basketball team. They really and truly are. Don't look at the Sixers, and I'm going to urge caution here, when you get all psyched up to watch this game today, wherever you're going to be, if you're going to be at Madison Square Garden, if you're going to be at your buddy's house, you're going to be home, you're going to be at a bar, whatever. But when you get ready to really sink your teeth into this series, let me just caution you, because that's what I'm here for. This is not your average seventh place basketball team. I don't care what happens today. I don't care if the Knicks win by 35 points, which would be nice. This is not going to be an easy series. Because I'm not looking at Philadelphia as a team that finished seventh, and they were 47-35 in the Eastern Conference, which, oh, by the way, was only three games worse than the Knicks, right? Five places different in the standings, but only three wins different when you look at the column. I instead look at this Philadelphia 76ers team with Joel Embiid in the lineup as a team that has a 32-8 record. And I tried saying this the other day, 32-8, okay, that's an 800 winning percentage. That's pretty good. You project 32-8 out over a full NBA season, they got a better record than the Boston Celtics. They would be the ones that have the best record in the NBA. Joel Embiid, before he got hurt, was well on his way to winning another MVP. But he got hurt. You know, he averaged 34 points a game this year in the games that he played, which would have won the scoring title again, but he didn't have enough games to qualify. So this is a dangerous group. Look, I know that Embiid is not 100%. But even if he's still 75, 80% Embiid, that's still good enough to knock this Knicks team out. It is. Now, granted, you can look at it from the other side of the token and say, well, you know what? The Knicks aren't whole either. Yeah, they aren't. We haven't seen Julius Randle for going on almost 3 months now. We know that we're not going to see him. You know, Mitchell Robinson missed time. OG Anunoby missed time. So how many more wins did the Knicks leave on the table because they weren't whole? Okay, fair. And you could say that they're 20-3 with OG Anunoby in the lineup. Great. And I'm sitting here, and I'm not trying to tell you that the Knicks aren't going to find their way past Philadelphia. No, I think the Knicks win this series. I do. But all I'm saying is that it's not going to be easy. You know, some people who I'm hearing some people thinking, you know, Knicks are going to sweep or Knicks. No. They're going to have to work for this. They really and truly are. These teams know each other very, very well. And don't even give me what happened in the regular season. All right, Knicks won 3 out of 4. I get it. And the three Knicks wins were of lopsided variety. Remember, they beat the Sixers by 35 points in the one game that Embiid played against them this year. But that doesn't mean anything come playoff time. All those numbers I just threw at you about the records and the seeds, all that stuff now is flushed completely. It's like a blank canvas. 0-0. Because remember, last year, when the Knicks got ready to play the Miami Heat in the second round, not only did the Knicks have home court advantage, if you wanted to draw back on their regular season head-to-head, the Knicks beat Miami in the regular season series. But that's not what happened when the playoffs started. So that's why you have to take this thing completely different than what you did for the last 6 months. And not only just with the basketball side of things. Over with the Rangers, too. Like, think about that for a second, right? You got a basketball team that's the 2 seed in the Eastern Conference. You got a hockey team that had the best record in the entire sport all throughout the regular season, and they play in the same building, they play in the same city. I don't know if you're old enough to remember 1994. I certainly am, okay? I would say you probably, what, you got to be at least 40 right now, close to 40, pushing 40, to really have a firm grasp of what that time was like back in 1994. But you know what? History has a funny way of repeating itself because it's 1994 all over again. Now, the Rangers got the job done that year. The Knicks came within one victory. Is history going to repeat itself? I don't know. And I don't think you would have to look at either one of these teams. At least I'm not. You don't look at either one of these teams in their respective journeys over the next 2 months, potentially, and say that they have to result in championship or bust. At least I don't. You know, if I'm the Rangers, I probably say anything short of a trip to the conference finals would be a huge disappointment. Right? Because Rangers aren't even the betting favorite to get to the top of the mountain. There's a team in their own division that they finished higher than, the Carolina Hurricanes, who seem to be the betting darlings to go all the way. You know, you still have a very, very dangerous Florida Panthers team in the Eastern Conference that is still lurking. So those two teams in particular are in your path just to get to the Stanley Cup Finals, and then who the heck knows what's going to be awaiting you there from the Western Conference. Knicks, on the other hand, as we saw last year, you can have home court advantage in the second round of the playoffs, and it still doesn't mean that you're going to be able to get the job done. However, I'll sit here and tell you the same thing. I think a trip to the conference finals is extremely, extremely realistic for this team. Because right now, the way things stack up with the Knicks, you're in the 2-7 spot, and you're going to be taking on the winner of Milwaukee and Indiana in round number two. Now, if it's Milwaukee, we don't know about Giannis. We don't know if or how much he's going to play even in this first round against Indiana. And you know what? Even if he does play, I think Indiana can clearly beat the Milwaukee Buck. Or, yeah, Indiana can clearly beat Milwaukee. Shoot, Indiana's got the better coach of the two. Indiana's a dangerous basketball team. Offensively, you could put Indiana up there with any team in the NBA as far as what they could do. So would it shock me if it's Knicks Pacers round? I mean, you really want to go back to like 1994 again? I mean, think about this, right? You really want to go back to 1994? How about Knicks Pacers in the playoffs? That would really kick up the nostalgia meter, would it not? But it could happen. I think the Knicks losing in the first round, even against a team that has the reigning MVP in Joel Embiid, that would be a major, major disappointment. And isn't it nice we've sat here and we've talked about the Knicks and we've talked about the Rangers and we've talked about what could happen. And I haven't even said the word Jalen Brunson yet. And I just did. But the Knicks have their own MVP, ace in the hole in him. Now, we know he's not going to win the MVP, but he has performed every bit like a guy who is most valuable as any player in this league all season long. And we know that. And I was doing a lot of work on the game last night because we got the pregame coming up at 5:30 a little bit later on here on 98.7 ESPN. You can hear every single game of the Knicks playoff journey, as well as the Rangers, as well as the Islanders in some shape or form. Islanders are going to be on 10:50 coming up a little bit later today when they get ready to take on Carolina. Pregame will begin at 4:30 over there. But I was doing the work on the game. And Brunson in particular, and we look, if you're Nick Nurse, you're Philadelphia, you're any team that's going to play the Knicks in the playoffs. He is the guy, of course, you are going to put a game plan together to try to stop. It goes without saying. A five-year-old would know that that is the player you have to neutralize if you want to beat the Knicks. But Brunson this year against the Philadelphia 76ers, whether it's his scoring, his shooting, three-point, you name it, all his numbers against the Philadelphia 76ers in those four games are down from his season averages against everybody else. So that's something to bear in mind. Now, you could say, well, all right, one of those games, they won by 35. You know, how much did he really have to score? Didn't play a lot of as many minutes and blah, 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 all those things. But it's also trickier come playoff time because you are game planning for the same player pretty much game in and game out. All the secrets go out the window. These two teams are going to know each other like the back of their hands. And it is sometimes a little bit trickier to maybe just go out there as opposed to, you know, you might be catching a team on the third game in four nights. Tail end of a back-to-back. They had to travel. Maybe they got the heavy legs and maybe they're going through the motions out there. And you know what? You're going to take advantage of it. That's not the case in the playoffs. Everybody's going to be perfectly rested. Everybody's going to know the ins and outs, all the X's and O's, the secrets that each team is going to want to bring onto the floor. And now let's see who truly is most valuable and who truly is going to be the best. But if you are a sports fan in this town, what more can you ask for? You know, some of you, like I said, you haven't even been alive or you don't even remember the last time we had a spring in this city that potentially is shaping up like we have on our hands now. Between the Knicks and the Rangers, Islanders in the postseason. I know it's not going to get as much talk yet because it's still April, but how about these two baseball teams? And in case you're just waking up now, how about the Mets last night? Yamamoto, who the hell needs him? As the Mets put a nine spot up last night, and look, may have, you know, won the battle but lost the war too, because that did not look good with Francisco Alvarez and his thumb. And even Carlos Mendoza was concerned after the game that the Mets could be without their catcher for the foreseeable future. And the Yankees last night, and Juan Soto again. Like, I don't know how many more zeros you're going to add on to that blank check, potentially, whoever's going to sign him at the end of the year, but I think Soto just tacked another zero on with that gargantuan blast into the Bronx night last night to help the Yankees defeat the Tampa Bay Rays. And I was talking to the guys right before the show, too, and with all this stuff that's happening sports-wise, at least over the next handful of days, oh, by the way, you have the jewel event of the NFL offseason coming up on Thursday, too, with the draft, where you have both of our teams picking in the top 10. A lot of speculation, a lot of rumors. Could they move up? Could they move down? Should they take this guy? Should they take a quarterback? And the draft is almost, I think, going to fly under the radar, more so than it normally would, just because of the playoff fever with everything happening at Madison Square Garden. It's a good time to be a sports fan, is it not? We've waited long enough.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
This is the Dan Grosse Show on 98.7 ESPN.
You were around, you know, 30 years ago, and you remembered what that spring was like. You know, you had a game, you know, almost every other night or day at the world's most famous. You know, whether it was the Knicks, whether it was the Rangers. And it was just nonstop news cycle between these two teams. And look, I don't know if both of them are going to make it that far again. I would probably say it's unlikely, you know, just because I don't think, you know, it's not as clear cut as it used to be. Remember, it wasn't easy. Think about what the Rangers had to go through just to get to the finals in 1994. You know, down 3-2 against the Devils, winning that game 6 on the road in the conference finals, the Messier guarantee game. They needed not one, not two overtimes before Matt Toth sent them to the finals. They needed 7 against Vancouver. You know, a lot had to happen. You know, and even in the Knicks situation in 1994, I mean, let's face it, the reason they made it all the way to the finals that year was because some guy named Michael Jordan was playing baseball, right? But if he wasn't, you know, Knicks probably wouldn't have made it all that way. And they still had to eke out that conference finals. Let's not forget, they had to get the help from the officials against the Chicago Bulls in round number 2, as we remember. But it's going to be tricky. It's going to be tricky. And that's why I said we're probably going to be hard-pressed right now to say that both of these teams are going to find it in, you know, find their way to the finals in their respective sports. Probably the Rangers have the better chance of the two, but never say never. But I don't think you could sit here and look at either one of these teams and let's say if they fail in their pursuit to win a championship that, you know, the season is a complete failure. It's not. You know, both of them have taken you for as fun a ride as you could possibly have during the regular season. But I would say just losing in the first round would be the only situation that you would want to qualify either as being a disaster if it plays out that way. But I don't think it's going to happen. You know, think positive. That is how we're going to roll. And we want to hear from you now at 800-919-3776. We will start it off with our buddy Marvin in the Bronx. He's batting leadoff here on 98.7 ESPN. Good morning, Marv. How are you, buddy?
Listen, my man. When you talk about 94, when people ask me how long I've been a Knicks fan, I said, you know that building on 34th Street? I remember the day they started building it. That's how long I've been a Knicks fan.
You were a fan of an MSG 2. Forget about MSG 3, MSG 4, whatever they are now.
Let's not go that far. Come on, yeah. Dad. All right. Listen, I am so hyped today. I mean, I'm hyped. I'm going to a wedding, all right?
Oh.
I take the game, and I'm really hyped. Hopefully, I get back from the wedding by halftime. But let me tell you something.
Marv, I have questions.
Yeah.
I have questions. What time is this wedding?
3 o'clock.
Okay, 3 o'clock, and then you have the reception and all that stuff right?
I might have to leave early, if you know what I
what
mean.
What time is the reception? Do they tell you that?
Yeah, the reception should be about 4:30, all right? So I'm still getting a little time here, all right?
How might I eat
a little bit for an hour, and then as the song goes, that's the way we roll. We're out of here.
Marv, how far from the crib is the wedding reception?
It's in Brooklyn, but I live in Manhattan, really. I lived in the Bronx, that's why I keep the moniker, but I actually live in Manhattan now.
Let me tell you what you do, okay? You get there on time.
My wife is driving, so we'll get there.
You sit there and you put on a happy face. You mingle. You do everything you have to do.
You know the script.
Once 6 o'clock hits, you split. You know, it's a fashionably early exit. I got to go. Make up whatever excuse you got. You know, just be honest with him. Say, I got a playoff game. This doesn't happen every year. And then you're out of there and you make it home very early in the game.
Look, Dan. It's not like a child being born, all right?
No.
Your mother's birthday. It's a wedding, and I've known a young man since he was about 10 years old. But look, there's priorities in life, and the Knicks are a priority, all right?
And the thing too, and Marv, let's face it. The like you said, the couple that's getting married, they didn't just meet yesterday. They've probably been together for a while, so you've known about them for a while. And guess what? Tomorrow. As early as tomorrow, when there's no Nick playoff basketball game, they're still going to be a couple and they're still going to be married. So go visit them then if you want to, whatever. But you can't miss game one.
I'm with you. Look, I'm so hyped. Whenever I think of the playoffs, I always think of the great Marv Albert. He would say the short season, the money season. I don't know. I predicted this year. I went to my buddy who's real basketball aficionado. He said, Marv, the Knicks are going to win 50 games this year. He was right, and he barely got there. But I said when Randall was healthy, I said, this is a Eastern Conference Finals team here. And I'm still, look, this is not going to be an easy series, and I definitely don't want to hear from my Pennsylvania relatives about this game because we have to win this series, right? I don't want to hear them running their mouths. I got enough during the football season with that group.
Marv, good luck, my
Take
friend.
Care, Dan.
Enjoy the wedding and get out of there as early as possible. Just, look, I don't think I'm being rude, right, guys? I mean, like, you go to the wedding, he's going to be at the ceremony, and then you go to the reception for a little bit, and then you move on. Yeah, I mean, like, that ceremony, the couple that's getting married, everything, I don't think it's going to completely crumble because Marv is leaving.
See, that sounds also like a really quick wedding, too. Like, 3 o'clock wedding, 4:30 the reception. Don't usually the bride and groom have to take photos and stuff like that after the wedding? Like, I don't think that reception's going to start on time, unfortunately, in Marvin's case here.
Well, if the reception venue is the same place where they're having the ceremony, you might be able to pull it off.
That's a very good point. Now,
that's what I should have asked Marv. Is it all under the same roof? Because if it is, then you could easily make that happen.
Yesterday...
Yesterday, I mean, think about it, Marv and Dave, because I was doing the show with Dave yesterday in the morning. Dave's got to go to a bat mitzvah today for a relative.
Do we think
the place has no TV?
So is he going to sit in the corner watching the game on his phone?
He's going to have to. I have not checked up with him since yesterday. Like, I don't know if he made arrangements. He was supposed to call the place to find out if there's some TV lurking on the premises that he could camp himself out. But it's the same thing with Marv being at the wedding. Like, your presence is there. That's good. But I don't think, like, you having to be, like, an active participant in the ceremony or the function or whatever it is, that's not necessary. You should be able to do your own thing. And if it means sitting there, I told him, bring an iPad. I told Dave, bring an iPad to this thing because it's not obnoxious enough to where you could sit at the table. It's not like it's a restaurant. So, like, he's going to be sitting at a table, eating, whatever. It's not like there's going to be a dance floor or anything like that. You put the iPad on your lap if you have to. Nobody knows you even have it. And even if you do display the iPad on the table, who cares? People know this is the playoffs. It's his job. It's his work. I think people would understand.
I'd completely understand. Now, I was going to say something else about Dave, and then I completely forgot where I was going. So please continue. My apologies.
That's okay. You know, so I look, I think all the rules of etiquette, decorum, whatever, social responsibilities, family responsibilities, all that goes out the window if the postseason is a thing. Regular season game, that's something entirely different. Playoffs. We're talking about the playoffs. That's different. All the rules and all the norms go out the window completely.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This is the Dan Grosser Show on 98.7 ESPN.
Second annual DiPietro and Rothenberg pregame party is coming up on Thursday, May Dose. Come out to see the live broadcast starting at 6 a.m. from Publicans in Manhasset, just steps away from Manhasset Station on the LIRR, where after the show, the crew are going to take the train to Citi Field for the matinee game against the Cubbies. It is the pregame party with Rick and Dave on Thursday, May 2nd, brought to you by Montauk Brewing Company, Come As You Are, and by Zing Zang, America's favorite Bloody Mary brand. Now it's even easier to enjoy a Bloody Mary with their pre-mixed cocktails available in convenient cans and party-sized bottles. Just open, pour, and enjoy, please. Zing Zang responsibly. Dan Grosser Show here on a Saturday morning, 98.7 ESPN, talking playoffs, little Knicks, little Rangers. Hell, you could throw the Islanders in there as well because they are going to be on the ice today, taking on the Carolina Hurricanes. And, you know, we talked last week as these dual regular seasons were coming to a conclusion, both with the NBA and the NHL. NBA had everything nice and tidily wrapped up, even though I thought it was obnoxious that they went 2 days without playing games in the lead-up. But everybody ended on Sunday. You know, they staggered the start times. The East Coast teams played at 1 o'clock, West Coast at 3:30 in the afternoon. So, you know, teams weren't going to try to do anything funny with gamesmanship or anything of the like. And everybody knew who was in the playoffs and was going to make it or go into the play-in, this and that. Hockey, meantime, you had some teams end the season on Monday. You had some ended on Tuesday, some ended on Wednesday, and some ended on Thursday. And because of all that chicanery, you only have two games today in the NHL playoffs. And they're both Eastern Conference teams. Like, why did the NHL feel the need to do that? You got the four tomorrow, but like today you only have the two because there were clubs that ended the season on Thursday and they were all Western Conference games on Thursday that the turnaround, and because all the matchups and the availability which had to be sorted out, could not be determined in 48 hours. I don't know. That was a bad job by the league, but what do I know? You know, they got franchises relocating that probably take up more of their plate right now as opposed to what the schedule should look like when it comes to the postseason. Anyway, let's get back to the phones. Let's say hi to Tommy. He's in Connecticut. He's up next here on 98.7 ESPN. Thomas, good morning. How are you?
Daniel, how are we doing today?
Thomas, it is the dream today. That's what it is.
We have such a good forecast as far as local sports going. I'm absolutely loving it. I want to get into the Rangers real quick, but before that, I do want to commend the Islanders for being an absolute class act, sending off what was likely Jeff Carter's last NHL game. Definitely a very respectful display.
Yeah, they all came out for it, and Carter was on the Penguins, of course, and you know he was going to hang it up on Wednesday. And shoot, I remember, you want to go back, this is close to 20 years, right, when he broke in, him and Mike Richards with the Philadelphia Flyers, right? They were both rookies that one season when they came up, and you thought those guys were going to be a pain in the neck. And then Carter, you know, went on to L.A. and was part of those cup-winning teams out there. He had a really, really good career for sure.
No, phenomenal player. But just wanted to get your thoughts on – so So my take on the Rangers, obviously, we know the players that need to really stand up, but I think this is the platform for Kako and Lafreniere to just really justify their draft pick, you know, and take that next step.
Yeah, I mean, this is the time, right, Tom? I mean, bottom line, it doesn't matter what you do in the postseason. And look, and thanks a lot for the phone call. Look no further than Julius Randle, right? I mean, I think it's fair to make an Artemi Panarin-Julius Randle comparison if you want, because, what, two out of the previous 3 years, Julius Randle was an all-star, he was all-NBA during the regular season, and then the playoffs came around, and he was a shell of that guy for various circumstances. And then we spent the entire summers, at least the fans did, calling into shows like this, just destroying him. He's not clutch. They got to move on from him. They're never going to win with Julius Randle being the guy, blah, 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 blah. Well, here you have Artemi Panarin, who has not only the best season of his career, as good a season maybe as any Ranger has had in the last quarter century. But if he can't find the back of the net in the playoffs, and I know Panarin in the postseason, certainly, since he's put on that blue shirt sweater, it's been a little bit of a struggle for him. Right? If he does not carry over the brilliance that he showed you for the last 6 months, those same type of phone calls are going to be centered around the bread man come summertime. I mean, this is a guy who got dialogue and Curb Your Enthusiasm in the final season. Think about it. You know, that's going to live in television history. Artemi Panarin, the bread man, made it into the episodes. He's got to fulfill it. He's got to show up here. 800-919-3776. Let us say hi to Omar in Brooklyn, who I don't even know if he slept because he's so excited for this series to get going. Hello, Omar. How are you?
Good morning. Good morning. I'm pumped up. Everybody's complaining that I get hyped up too much. I'm just excited today. This is a good day. I'm excited. I'm relaxed. Before, I was nervous that I want to face Philadelphia. I have a reservation about Thibodeau, and Nick Nurse is a good coach. But let me tell you why I feel good today. Mm-hmm. First, I am very confident about my Knicks, and I have my reservation about Thibodeau has moved to a little bit positive side because he has started using his bench and players more effectively, and he has given time to Bogdanovich to gel into the bench. That's what my complaint was, and he has given enough time to him to get adjusted to a second rotation coming from the
right,
bench.
Right, because he was a starter his whole career, yeah.
Yes. So I'm positive about that, that Thibodeau has come out of his stubborn bone, hard-nosed seven-man rotation, and if the guy doesn't show up and he doesn't play defense, he's not going to give minutes. Now he knows that he needs some scoring from Bogdanovich, so he has a little bit lowered down that stubbornness that he has for so many years, and plus somebody is putting a pressure on him way in the back, so maybe, we don't know. But my positive tonight is the way I saw the zone that Miami Heat plays. Let me tell you, mm-hmm. I just, as a basketball fan, the press conference, you know why I love Pat Riley? I used to do every time when the Knicks lose and Pat Riley come on a court and used to do press conferences, and his loss was in that tone every day. I used to adore that tone. I loved Pat Riley. And when he left the New York Knicks, I didn't hate his guts, but I was a fan. The Miami Heat head coach, how good is he? How good is he?
He might be the best coach in the league.
The best coach I have ever seen. And that's what I said, that when he does it, I have a little bit of a rapport on Philadelphia. We know that Embiid is not 100%. You told me about the stat that against Philadelphia, what his stat is. The regular season, back-to-back situation on a 79-73 loss. That was a terrible game by Brunson. They were playing back-to-back situation. I'm least worried about Brunson. Let's go keep on rolling. Knicks in six. I'm not going to say I'm pumped up every time. Pumped up, energized, ready to go. Can't wait 8 hours. Just ready to go, and I
Omar,
feel good.
Omar, hang in there.
Last year, I didn't feel good. This year, I feel good. Let's go. The run is starting today, baby.
Omar's into it. There you go. See, that should get you ready. If you were maybe a little nervous, maybe you weren't unsure how you should treat the Sixers and how you should feel about them, Omar got you ready. You're a Knicks fan. You're fired up now because of Omar. Now, real quick, because I mentioned the Brunson numbers and Omar reminded me of it here, just by comparison's sake, okay? Now, where was it? I had it written down. So, Brunson in the regular season, 28.7 points a game against Philadelphia in the four games, 22.3. So, that's about 6 points less. Field goal percentage during the season, he was at 48%, shot 40% against the 76ers. Three-point this year, he was at 40%. Against the Sixers, he was at 30%. Just something to keep in mind. Like I said, not that it's going to come true in this series, but you never know. As far as Embiid and how the Knicks are going to have to deal with him, because let's face it, if the Knicks stop Embiid, and I don't even know if that's possible, but if they can at least slow down Embiid, that'll go a long way towards ensuring they get out of this first round. How do you go about doing that? We'll talk about that coming up next.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And, boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
This is the Dan Grosser Show on 98.7 ESPN.
As far as Embiid is concerned, look, I don't know where he's at right now. Like, technically speaking, he's listed as questionable on the injury report for today's game. He's going to play. All right, we know that. I know that we saw him a little bit sucking wind in that game the other night against the Miami Heat. He's clearly not 100% all the way back yet. But the Sixer team has won 9 in a row. Since he's been back in the lineup, they haven't lost a game. And he's still getting his conditioning under him. And look, I don't know for as long as Philadelphia is even going to have a season this year if Embiid's ever going to get back to 100%. But what I would do if I were the Knicks, and I'm sure that this has been preached to them, and I'm sure that they've gone over it with the, you know, Tibbs and the 500 assistant coaches that the Knicks have and all NBA teams have. If Embiid is laboring out there, as we saw the other night, and he's not back to 100%, you know what I'm going to try to do? I'm going to try to run him off the floor. And I'm going to encourage my guys to push the pace. And I know pace is not something that you identify with the Knicks, right? Which also, I think, in a weird way, can help them in this series and in this postseason, because normally the game slows down a little bit in the playoffs, right? Where it's not as run and gun as what we see in the regular season. So if you have a Knicks team that isn't identified as a club that usually likes to get out and run that much, or at least is as good at it as maybe some other teams are in the NBA, then they don't really have to adapt much come playoff time. They just have to run their stuff like they do all season long, which could help them. But when it comes to Philadelphia and trying to get Embiid off the floor, I would try to push the pace as much as possible. Make him try to catch up. Make him try to play at your pace, because maybe he doesn't have the legs for that right now. And then you're going to have a diminished version of that player, at least on one side of the floor. I think what you do in this series, and look, it's a gamble, but you turn Embiid into a jump shooter. Now, he can step out and hit the three with no problem. We know that. But I don't think, given Embiid where he is right now physically, I don't think he's going to be a guy that's going to be taking the ball into the paint, taking it to the tin, and attacking. He's going to be a guy that I think primarily is just going to be sitting there trying to take jumpers, which it's like live by the sword, die by the sword. But that's how you do it. On offense, you just pick and roll him to death. Try to just keep wearing him down. You know, he's playing about, I think since he came back from his injury, about 30 minutes a game, give or take. You know, is he going to be able to exceed that now that it's the postseason and there is no tomorrows? Couldn't tell you. But if that was the version of him that we saw the other night, I'll take my chances. I will take my chances. And I'll tell you something, if you want to go back to that series that he was referencing against Miami last year in the playoffs, bench production was a big factor in that game, or in that series. You know, and a lot of those guys I know that maybe aren't on Miami anymore, but you think about some of them, whether it was the Lowrys, whether it was the Gabe Vincents, whether it was Max Strus guy. You know, it seemed like on any given night in that series, there was going to be somebody coming off the bench for the Heat that were going to find a way to make plays to help tilt the balance in their favor. And the Knicks really didn't have that in that series. Remember, Emmanuel Quickley was kind of MIA. He was nowhere to be found, right? So now, in all honesty, that is something that I'm a little bit concerned about now that we're in the postseason. Who is going to step up for this team in the second unit? Because remember, you got Josh Hart in the starting lineup. You know, I know Mitchell Robinson is there, but Mitchell Robinson ain't there to give you offense. Where is that secondary scoring coming from? I know that Bojan Bogdanovic has given you spurts. He's given you glimpses here of late, but it hasn't been consistent. So if you're asking me, like, what's the one area of concern that I have for this Knicks team as we get ready to start this series, it's probably the bench production. Because what got Philadelphia to this matchup? That game the other night, you had Nick Batum playing the role of Big Shot Bob and coming off the bench and hitting 6 3-pointers. Now, I don't think that he's going to do that every single game, but he had it in him. Who's that guy for the Knicks? Interesting, interesting, interesting. Just like that first hour was. We'll keep it going. 800-919-3776. That is the telephone number. We'll sprinkle in some draft conversation as well. Joe Douglas had his pre-draft press conference yesterday. What lies in store for the Jets coming up on Thursday? We'll talk about that. Grasso Show till noon, 98.7 ESPN.
This year I feel good. Let's go. The run is starting today, baby.